Blog Talk Radio.
In a tiny book called Jude, that is, it lies just before the book of Revelation, this book of Jude gives a titanic message. And it is interesting that it begins with the title, well, the first verse begins, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of a common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Now, with these verses, James, that is Jude, launches into his discussion of a very grave subject. And in verse 3, he talks about, he speaks of the necessity of his spirit-led exhortation. And in the Greek, we see that he said that this was needful, it was necessary, or that there was a compelling force involved in him submitting this document. And notice what he says in verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained for this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, that is the Exodus, the way out, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now, Jude launches into a discussion of salvation history, and he is not ashamed, and neither is he apologetic about his understanding of salvation history. He sees the power of God at work, and he knows that God will bring to a conclusion that which he has started. And so the people of God are not ahistorical, that is, they are involved in history. God works his will out through his people in history. And so what is wonderful about both the Old Testament and the New Testament is that there are certain tenses that God uses to show that as far as his will is concerned, what may not have been fulfilled at a particular point in history was so certain that he used a tense that showed that his will had already been completed. In the book of Revelation, we read there's a tense form that says, in which God says, this was allowed. This was allowed. Then there's a point in salvation history in the Revelation where God brings to an end or brings to a close the tribulation period, or the thalipsis, the great squeezing, the great pressure, the enormous pressure, the unrelenting pressure that was put upon the earth and the people of God. Jude talks about certain individuals who have come into the church, energized by Satan in order to disrupt and to havoc the church and the people of God. Please read the letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor, which is now modern Turkey. Read about where Satan is. Satan is not red. He does not have a tail. He does not have a pitchfork. He does not have horns protruding from his head. He is beautiful. And we read in 2 Corinthians that Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. Well, why? In order to deceive, in order to lead astray, in order to create havoc. And so notice verse 4, Jude states that, once again, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you, verse 5, in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. Now he's talking, speaking about the antediluvian world. He hath reserved an everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. So this is also recorded in 1 Corinthians 4:3. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. Notice the ending of these civilizations. And there is a pattern. Debauchery and unbridled hedonistic pleasure. Giving themselves over to fornication and going after different flesh are set forth for an example. Literally, the word is specimen, suffering the vengeance or the divine action of eternal fire. So, believers will be persecuted because they stand in antithesis. They are the witness, living witnesses, that God is doing something different in history. And the reality of the second coming should be manifest in our lives. However, there are those for whom this doctrine of the second coming is not a living reality, or these persons have never been born anew, or they have, as Demas, Paul wrote, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present age, or they have given themselves over to the flesh. The time has come to stop playing church. The days of playing church are over. And there are persons whose sins are being exposed now. And there are individuals who I've read about recently who have actually taken their lives because their dual lives, the hypocrisy of their lives, became too much to bear. The exposure. Now, as long as these things were hidden in darkness, it was okay. But when it came, their behavior came to light, then that was a different story. See, Psalm 90 tells us that there are no secret sins. And the scripture has adequate warning about those who play the sin. It is now come time for those who name the name of the Lord to depart from iniquity. Jesus said that in this world we would be in tight places. Why? Because we're related to him. We are conjoined to him. Because we are his. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Please read John 3. And so there will be a purging and of the church. There will be those who we know is genuine, and there are those who say they have a witness, when in reality there is no witness. They do not really believe the Word of God. Word of God has not radically altered their behavior, their thoughts, their thinking. They are aligned with the current world system. And so the church will be winnowed. Their winnowing is coming. The winnowing, in fact, is going on now. And so let me say that this is a time to prepare to gain a solid knowledge of the Word of God and to know that one really belongs to the living Christ. Please read the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews talks about those who fell in the wilderness because the word they heard preached was not mixed with faith, and therefore that word did not profit them. And the writer to the Hebrews talks about believers at that time, and his message is for us as well. It is called, his message is called an exhortation, that we do not have evil hearts of unbelief. God does not want us to have hearts that are calloused over. God wants us to be persuaded by his word, to be changed by his word, to be built up by his word. And most certainly in these days of uncertainty, in which we have droughts, and I live in California, we have fires, and we have persons in our own experience here in Northern California who barely made it out of their homes. We know one family in which who lost both their church and their home was burned. And now they have their lives, but now the reality of what happened has set in. 2008, we had many people to suffer the loss of their homes. So I want you to know that things are changing. We had an incident with the stock market a few weeks ago, and we don't know exactly what is going on, but we do know that God is in control. We do know that if the saints of God get serious and get serious prayer lives, much can turn around. It's safe. Stop playing with sin. Stop hiding. Stop seeking the love to satisfy the lust of the flesh and get serious with God. We can turn around so much in our country, so much. But we have to know that God will not condone sin. When we get our hearts healed by grace, God will heal our land. God will heal our homes. God will heal our schools. God will heal the politicians who are in charge. God will change these things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes circumstances. Prayer changes people. Love it. This is an urgent cry that we change our way and get serious with God. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.